You are listening to the Something Beautiful podcast. I'm Jonathan Blundell. This week on the podcast, we talk with Brandon Mauser. He lives in West Virginia with his family, including his two-year-old daughter, and he is a stay-at-home dad. I use that term semi-loosely. He works from home doing mortgage financing, and he's also a self-proclaimed domestic devo. We'll talk about that on our podcast, as well as a project that he did during Lent, going meatless for Lent. So I'm looking forward to sharing this interview with Brandon Mauser right here on the Something Beautiful podcast.
So I've been, in the finance industry since 98, when I graduated high school, I went straight into it. And, I spent the majority of my adult life in an office, sometimes in a cubicle, sometimes at the manager's desk or the owner's desk. And so been able to see a lot through there, and I loved it. Maybe I'm not supposed to love the corporate world, but I kind of do. At the same time, there are a lot of issues that I have with it. And so I kind of got to the place that it was like, I could keep doing this and it would be good. I can do it. I know how to. Or I could find a way to still do what I do and but do it differently. And, opportunity came. I get to do this and be at home with my daughter, work on these other projects. And so it's a much different life than what I've had previously. But in my opinion, it's a much better life. It's much more rewarding.
Part of Brandon's desire to change from the corporate world to the stay-at-home dad was partially out of time and energy that he was spending in the workplace, as well as frustrations with the corporate world. But a lot of it was his realization that he was missing his daughter's childhood.
I missed the entire first year of her life. I would be out the door before she would wake up in the morning, and I'd come home usually when she was either going to bed or already in bed. And so it was just really sad, here I have this beautiful baby girl and I don't really know her. And so finally kind of got to the point that the frustration, it kind of boiled up, and on, both counts, that I wasn't able to spend time with her and also with work. And so finally I said, this isn't worth it. I would be happier making less money if that was the case, but being able to spend time with her. And it was really scary, but it worked. I took the dive and not looked back.
Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Brandon is a self-proclaimed domestic devo, and he's got a little project that he's working on as part of that.
That is a project I've been working on for about a year, and we're almost ready to launch that. And essentially, the tag is, because house dads are awesome too, There are so many, so many mommy sites out there where moms can get together and talk about things, and the advice that they give is for the moms, and I think it's fantastic, and I celebrate that for sure. But stay-at-home dads or work-at-home dads is becoming more of a thing, right? And so, I cook. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. My daughter is in there with me, helping me cook. I've always been a very domestic person. I was raised, with my mom, and they were all very, they were very domestic themselves. They were very, matriarchal women, that kind of deal. And so I had to learn really young how to cook, how to clean, how to sew. We were pretty poor, so we didn't have all the luxuries or everything else. And my mom did an amazing job, raising us and providing for us and all that stuff. But she wouldn't just go out and buy us everything that we wanted. So we kind of had to figure things out. We didn't always go out to restaurants. So what are we going to do? Well, we could make a hot dog in the microwave, or we could actually cook a meal, you know? And so I was kind of raised like that. And I was talking with some friends and just, you know, like, man, it'd be great if there was, you know, something for the dads. It was kind of geared for the dads. And it kind of started rolling around in my head a little bit and just kind of started putting things together, trying to find out what, you know, what could I call this thing? And one day Domestic Devo just popped in my head. And so it kind of stuck. I like it. It's catchy. And, yeah, it's essentially going to be a place for, you know, dads to connect, you know, a little blog, nothing, you know, intense or anything like that, but, you know, definitely fun. And little things like, you know, I mean, you know, usually it's the guy's job to go clean out the gutters. Well, you know, I had to do that this year, and I did it last year, and I hated it, and so I tried to figure out a different way to do it, and I figured that a leaf blower is the best tool for cleaning out gutters. It just makes quick work of them, and it's a messy job, but cleaning out gutters is a messy job anyway. So, you know, just posting little things like that, little reviews of products that I've tried that have made my life as a stay-at-home dad easier.
One of the things that really sparked my interest in getting Brandon on the podcast was for Lent, he decided to go meatless. He did 40 days of Lent without meat. And so I wanted to hear about his experience and why he chose this for Lent and what he learned from the experience.
My friend, Nar Martinez, Pastor Nar on all social media, you know, he's my best friend, and neither one of us are liturgical types. You know, we actually had very similar church upbringings, you know, Pentecostal charismatic holiness. He finds Lent, the Lenten season, Lenten service, to be very fulfilling for him. And so we've been friends for, 5-6 years. And every year, for the most part, he has observed Lent in some way. And he always asks me, so, like, you know, are you going to consider Lent this year? And, you know, and my answer is always, oh, yeah, sure. And my consideration ends after I end that sentence, you know. And I'm not sure exactly what the shift was for this year. You know, over the last year and a half, I've been exploring contemplative Christianity. And it's been very helpful for a whole lot of reasons, but maybe it just kind of opened me up to try something new, because everything I'm experiencing with you know, contemplative Christianity is new to me. It's very old, but it's very new to me. And so so I was like, yeah, you know, I think I'm not sure what I would do, but I think that I might consider this, like, very seriously. So, you know, one of the things that I don't appreciate about the observance of Lent for most people is, okay, I give something up for 40 days. Like, I'm going to give up cigarettes. I'm going to give up, try to give up cigarettes. Try to give up coffee. Try to give up caffeine or this or that. And they're important things for their life. But the intent at the beginning is to give it up for the 40 days. And then once Lent's over, you know, they can't wait to drink, you know, 5 gallons of coffee or smoke a carton of cigarettes. And it's just this, you know, they give it up to take it back up. And that was always frustrating for me, because I think there's more to it. So I had a couple friends. I was on the phone with a friend of mine, and she said, or on Facebook, and she just asked, you know, are you doing anything for Lent this year? And I said, yeah, I'm thinking about it. I don't know what to do, though. And she said, I think it would be interesting to see you give up meat for Lent. And I said, well, why would I do something like that? You know, and because, yeah, it's pretty important to my diet. I mean, if you look at my Instagram pre-Lent, I mean, it's meat every single dish almost. And she's like, well, I think it would be interesting to see what you would create if you were not able to use your main ingredient anymore. And so I started thinking about it and talked with a couple other friends of mine who were vegetarian or vegan, and they were really supportive of it. They said, it's actually probably a little bit easier than you think. And some things that, you know, you should know while you, before you do it, you know, things you need to watch out for, but, you know, I really think that you could do this. And they were very encouraging, and I felt like they actually believed in me. And so, so like the day before it started, I think it was Fat Tuesday, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. And it was like at, you know, 11 or 12 o'clock at night, like that night. And I was like, crap, today was Fat Tuesday, and I didn't eat any meat today. So, like, I started a little bit early. So that was, I mean, that, I guess that was kind of like the backdrop, the backstory for it, you know, kind of how it came to be. And so I wanted to make it a little bit meaningful, more meaningful than just not eating meat for these, you know, these days. And so during, you know, during Lent, I watched a lot of documentaries on the food industry, you know, vegetarian documentaries and, what is it? Knives Over Forks, I think, or Forks Over Knives. There were probably, I don't know, half a dozen that I watched and watched again and watched again. And so, like, this time, because one of the things for Lent for me is that it's transformative, right? And so you have this commitment that you make, and when you come out of it, you know, at the end, there should be some kind of transformation that's happened to you. And so just not eating meat, I think that that could be transformative to a degree, but I wanted to make it stick a little more. And so watching these documentaries and just really educating myself on factory farming and, you know, where our food actually comes from and what goes into making it, was a huge thing for me, as far as, you know, my observance.
It's interesting that he said Lent was more transformative for him. You know, I've always grown up, and I think Brandon kind of agreed with this, that the idea of fasting was more, we're going to take a day or take a week or however long it is, and we're going to fast from something. And in that time frame, whenever we think about chocolate or whenever we think about coffee or whatever the item is that we're fasting from, we're going to spend that time in prayer. And Brandon explained to me that he wanted Lent to be more transformative to him, and that's why he adopted some of the additional practices that he did during the 40 days of Lent.
For me, Lent is a little bit different, though. You know, it's the observance of loss and renewal. And, you know, because, you know, they lost Jesus, and then he was renewed, you know, through resurrection, depending on how you believe. And so for me, like, it's not your typical fast. It's not your Daniel fast. It's quite a bit different. And so I wanted to make it more meaningful for me. And that's the cool thing about Lent. I think, you know, there's all kinds of people out there right now that are, you know, they're doing all kinds of things with Lent. You know, they're giving up God for Lent. They're taking up atheism. I've listened to a number of podcasts with people, and they've said things like, yeah, you know what, the giving up something didn't ever really work for me. But I actually take on a new practice during Lent. And then, you know, by the end of it, it's, you know, what they say, it takes 30 days to develop a habit. And so, you know, they say, you know, by the end of Lent, I'm usually in my habit. I mean, the habit's formed and I'm doing it so that that can carry on in my life. And so for me, it was twofold. It was giving up something, but also taking something on. And taking something on was knowledge. You know, it was educating myself on something that's really important to me, which is food. And how food, you know, the ethics behind food. Your body is an organ, you know, it's all you have, and so what you put into that really does matter in the short term and in the long term. And so, you know, I'm really interested in creation care and, you know, stewarding resources that we have. And so I wanted to acquaint myself better with where my food came from. And so I took that on. And I'll definitely continue that. I found it absolutely repulsive and stomach-turning. one of my favorite things is bacon. And if anybody follows my Instagram or my Facebook or anything like that, bacon is a normal thing. It's like water to me. It's always there. And to find out actually how they get that is, you know, not to go into details, but it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. And so I feel like, you know, now that I know, I have an obligation to act. Beforehand, not so much, but now I feel that obligation.
So obviously from a spiritual perspective, Lent is a time where Christians come and focus on God. They focus on the Easter season. And a lot of people will talk about how Lent draws them closer to God. That's one of the reasons why they practice Lent. So beyond the practical implications of understanding where food comes from and how it affects us, I asked Brandon if he saw a spiritual benefit to his practice as well.
I definitely think, I have a new awareness through it of myself. I have a different kind of connection with creation and food than I had before. I'm a more holistic spirituality person. And so it's not just reading your Bible and praying and witnessing to people, because I think that's kind of crazy. But I think the best witness that you can have to people is your life and making, you know, ethical choices. And people see that, and they see you living your life differently. And I can't count how many conversations I've had with people over those 40 days and still now. And people are asking me questions like, man, how did you do this? You know, why did you do this? I miss seeing all the great food that you, you know, you cooked. And so it was an awareness on my part, but it also provoked the conversation. So I think that's being a witness too. You know, maybe it's not standing on the street corner saying you're all going to hell. It's a different kind of witness, and I don't think that that's a bad thing.
Thanks to Brandon Mauser for joining us on the Something Beautiful podcast. Be sure to follow him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and elsewhere. Look for the Domestic Devo hashtag. And I'm sure if you've got some great Domestic Devo ideas, maybe it's how to clean out your own rain gutters, use the hashtag and let Brandon know. Maybe it's something he'll want to share with his audience as well. Our theme song, as always, is The Owl Named Orion by danosongs.com. We also featured more music from the net label We Are All Ghosts. You can find a link to them on our podcast page, somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. And we do appreciate you listening. We hope that you get great stories out of this. We hope that you find something unique. Brandon's interview piqued your interest. Be sure to check out the full interview. We'll post that up on our website, somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. So thanks again for listening to the Something Beautiful podcast. I'm Jonathan Blundell. You can follow me on Twitter at JDBlundell or follow the show at SBPodcast. Hope that you'll join us again next time right here on the Something Beautiful podcast. Have a great week.